Welcome to CC Natters, where we challenge the norms and break free from the walls of religion. Because as Christ's cities, we're called to stand out like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden.
That's so true. And on this podcast, really, it's not about giving anyone answers, but about uncovering the truths already within us about who we are.
Yeah. And together, we'll reflect on spirituality, the Christian life, and living in the fullness of God's love with clarity and understanding, even right now.
Yes, well, so really, if you're seeking a space to explore and grow in your faith with openness and curiosity, you are in the right place. My name is Aliela.
And I am Mo.
Yeah,
let's start the conversation. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode on our podcast. We want to start off by saying a huge thank you to all of our listeners. We really do appreciate you. We thank you for the feedback, for all the comments. Last week was my birthday, and when we posted our episode for the week, I got so much feedback on how it's blessed people, and in fact it's blessed me as well, and I'm just so grateful for this opportunity. And we just want to say a huge thank you and to ask you to please share this to all your friends and family so this conversation gets out and it touches lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's our aspiration.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's, you know, it's always very good that when something blesses you, you kind of share that with other people.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're joining us for the first time, we just wanted to know that on CC Natters, our focus is to dig deep into the heart of faith, you know, to challenge religious norms, you know, particularly the ones we grew up with, and uncover the truth about Christ.
Yeah.
The truth that is already within us. And that to actually lead us to knowing who we are in Him. So today, we are actually tackling one of the most fundamental yet often misunderstood aspects of the scriptures. And that is, what are the scriptures really for? How do we interpret the scriptures correctly? What do the scriptures tell us? You know, as we turn the pages of the Bible, what should we be seeking? Should we be trying to find a personal revelation, you know, a word for our lives, business, marriage, career, ministry, health? Or is it one eternal central theme? Is that what the scripture is about? You know, what does the scripture really reveal to us, and why was the scriptures given? You know, so today we're actually just going to be challenging how we've been taught to read the scripture and apply the scripture. You know, sometimes when you get into a Bible study setting, they go, what is the application of the scripture to your everyday life? And and you know, we want to challenge that, and you know, maybe by revealing the truth that is in Christ, we can stir something, you know, in your heart as you listen today, inviting you to kind of explore, you know, what the Bible really speaks to. And as you do that, you know, you come into a place where you can learn to interpret the scriptures through the lens it was meant for. You know, so you're not just going about rima, you know, you're not just going about that's deep, you know. You know, you're not just getting all excited by, you know, when people bring out some interesting things in the scripture and you're like, oh my God, that's so, you know, you're not sure, you know. But by seeing the scriptures and being able to interpret the scriptures correctly, you have the boldness to pick it up yourself and really read about the one the scripture, you know, kind of speaks to. So that's our conversation today, and I really do hope that it kind of blesses you. I mean, I will kind of start it off, right? Well, I think particularly as Christians, and it depends on, you know, whatever age you are in, there is also the concept of theology, where you kind of go into learning scripture, the theology of the scripture. You know, some people kind of look at, when you want to learn the scripture, you need to understand the context, the original language in which it's written, so that you know what the original person is trying to convey. And what we see happening is people continue to go into the scripture to find how do I apply the scripture to attain what God is saying about me?
Yeah.
So for instance, when you think about God speaking about righteousness and holiness and being worthy, you look at the scripture to see the things that qualify you as one who is worthy. So when you can, in that space, when you look at Jesus, then you look at the work Jesus has done as part of the things that was done to make you worthy. Mm-hmm. But you then go through the scripture to find what your own part
after. Where do I start off from
so
there?
So we find ourselves in this conversation. God does his part, was my part.
Yeah.
And we feel like what the scripture is revealing to us is what our part is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There was even actually some time, you know, it's beautiful as Christians, we go, before you do something, find a word from God.
So your base is, you know,
find a word. Make sure you're standing on a word.
Yeah.
And then what that really means is you go into the scripture, you know, and then maybe the scripture says, I will bless your going out and I will bless your coming in. Mm-hmm. I will bless the work of your hand or something. We personalize that.
Yeah.
And then when we, you know, get to a place where like, God, I'm standing on your word. You told me you will bless. You told me to go. And we use the scriptures in this way.
Yeah.
You know, is that
particularly a misuse of the scripture? I mean, I get where we're driving, where you're driving at, but you know, foundationally, what we've known growing up, I as a church girl. When we were growing up, we taught the Bible as the word of God, as the manual for life. That's where you go to find answers. That's where you go to find direction.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's not entirely out of line.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there is a context wherein that could be correct.
Mm-hmm.
Or that could be, there's a veracity to that. But I think what we want to kind of lay emphasis on today is the fact that what the scriptures were for, and which we'll look at in the actual Bible in a few minutes, what the scriptures were for were to point us to the revelation of Christ.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's not to say that there are no promises for us in the Bible. There are promises for us in the Bible.
That's true.
And there are things that we can go to hold on to make us feel safe in the rock. And I think that is still okay to do that. But I think maybe what we want to shine the light on today is that when we go to the scriptures and we find Jesus, it gives us a clarity, a better clarity, if you like, if you may, on how to see yourself in God. And I think that's what we want to hit the nail on today.
I think yes, you're actually right. And again, our conversation today is not to discredit people's personal experiences, because I understand the place of our experiences in our growth.
Yeah.
You know. There will be a time where it feels like you're seeing men like trees. And then after a while, you can actually really see men.
Yeah.
So I understand the place of our experiences. Do you get that?
Yeah, yeah.
And I also understand the need for us to go into the scripture and find like what we call the spoken word. So we want to claim those promises in the spoken word. What is interesting, though, is that is not unique to Christianity.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, like being able to speak words of affirmation, being able to speak spoken word, being able to, you know, do those kind of things is not particularly unique to Christianity. You have that even in, interestingly, traditional Yoruba beliefs. You have that in, you know, like Eastern beliefs, for instance. You know, the whole idea of, you know, if you do this with God and God does that, it's not particular to Christianity. You have that even in Islam, for instance.
I see.
So when people start to look at devotion, when people start to look at rewards, that's not particular to Christianity. So what really makes us Christian is to understand where Christ comes in.
Okay, got you.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it isn't so much about personal experiences, but to understand where is the place of Christ.
Yeah.
And the scriptures, which is very interesting, were given to us to testify to that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Before Christ showed up on the scene, we thought the scriptures was helping us know how to live.
Yeah.
You know, last week we really did talk about that.
Yeah.
We're saying in John chapter 5, he said, you search the scriptures thinking in it you find eternal life, but he says they are they that testify of me.
That's
so
right.
Jesus started to open our eyes to see what the scriptures is doing
for.
is to reveal me. Interestingly, what we find even till today is that people who were so hung up on the scripture, just like they were hung up on the scripture, find it very difficult to recognize Jesus and see Jesus.
That's the pit
we tend to fall into. So when we take the interpretation of the scriptures out of what it was really given for, where what we find ourselves doing is we fall into fables, we fall into stories that are, you know, perhaps not necessarily true. We fall into, you know, bringing up moral standards, you know, building.
I'm kind of struggling with this.
Don't worry.
It's okay. So, I think the controversial question which may arise is that the instructions that were given in the Bible, there are instructions in the Bible to help guide us.
What kind of instructions?
You know, you find, like, in Proverbs, you find where it talks about how to behave, what you should do, how to be wise, and things like that. You'd find that in Proverbs. I don't know if that's particularly pointing to Jesus, and maybe I'll stand corrected. But there are some Old Testament books that kind of lean in to giving guidance on how to do life or in interaction with your community. I think that was the purpose for it then, before Jesus. So now, are we saying now with Jesus that we don't need that anymore?
Okay, so this is the thing, because I think that's kind of how a lot of people think about it. Like, God was operating in a particular way, and then Jesus came, and then that changed God's operation. Like, it kind of changed God's operation. But actually, that isn't necessarily what it is.
Okay.
What it is we knew God in a shadow and didn't understand what he was saying. So we interpreted the things he was saying into things that we needed to do because we had no clue what he was saying. When Jesus came, it kind of opened our eyes to why that was kind of like the position we were in. Why? Because the flesh kind of know the things of the spirit. If God is spirit, you actually need to be spirit to know him. So that means that all the things that we were doing, they were a shadow of the things that were to come in that sense of way. So,
and only after Jesus was spirit
released, Jesus resurrected, that he actually took us into the scripture to reveal that the things that we read, that we thought were how to live life, were actually pointing to him. I mean, there's a beautiful story in Luke chapter 24, and I think it would be very beautiful to kind of just like go through it.
Okay.
You know, this was after resurrection, and I always love to think that the clarity we have now about Christ, the only reason we have that clarity is because we have received the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Okay.
The same Spirit that raised Christ from death. So if you have somebody who isn't in the reality of the resurrection of Christ, which is the Spirit, they would speak to you as per the letter. But when the Spirit speaks to you, it conveys to you the very essence of God as revealed in Christ. And that's kind of like where we are.
Yeah.
You know, it's why some people think that Christianity is like advanced Judaism with kind of Christ covering it. But no, that's not what it is. Christianity is the life of God revealed in Christ, which has now become our life.
Amen.
We live in God. We move in God.
You know, we
God and Christ have now become one. That reality is what makes us Christians, because that reality doesn't make us a second-class citizen to God. It actually puts us in the same league as him. And you kind of see that is a beautiful place to be, which really, when you think about religion never wants you to see yourself that way. Religion
makes it hard.
Exactly. Yeah. It always tries to let you think that you're a second-class citizen to God.
Things that you're not, you can't, it feels like you can't take hold of that position. And I think it really, it's before we go to that scripture, I think this is really kind of what people are grappling with now. You're getting frustrated, you're drawn thin with trying to keep up with all the to-dos.
Yeah.
And you find yourself losing yourself in the middle of it, and you know that you're pursuing what you're really pursuing is to know him, and to get into that rest that comes with the relationship with him. But
yeah,
you still get lost somewhere.
Yeah,
the letter.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I really love what you were saying about, you know, how we just kind of get into the doing of the letter, because what the doing of the letter is trying to do to us is validate us, isn't it? Yeah. So when we think that we're doing everything that the letter says, we claim, you know, the identity the letter gives. So yeah, for instance,
I've done right.
Exactly. For instance, if the letter says something like you will serve the Lord and he will bless your bread and your waters, if the letter says cast your bread upon many waters, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna cast my bread upon many waters. Because you read Proverbs 31 woman, and then you're like, oh my God, you know, I just want to be Proverbs 31
woman.
We define ourselves by the letters.
Yeah.
When actually what the Spirit came to do is to define us by God. If you kind of look at what God said in Jeremiah chapter 31, he said, they will know me. They will be my people. I will be their God.
That's right.
I will be their identity.
Yeah.
That's what God wants to do with us. But what religion wants to do with us is to find these pockets of things that validate us and define ourselves by them. By that.
So that can leave us in a straitjacket.
Exactly.
That can leave us feeling all.
And I think that's why a lot of people till today, and you see what is happening in the churches, a lot of people are confused. It just feels like, this doesn't quite feel real.
Yeah,
what is the gospel of Jesus? You know, what, you know, is the gospel of Jesus? Is it prosperity? Is it holiness? Is it sanctification? Is it, you know what I mean? And we continue to drag ourselves away from it. We make the problem that the people who suffered in unbelief have our problem. We kind of inherit their unbeliefs. Does that make when Jesus was like, the Pharisees actually struggled to believe him. Now, because we have seen Jesus as some sort of, you know, a variation of what the Pharisees believed, so we inherit the same problem. But God wants us to come into a position where we know him. And so Jesus, in that Luke 24, let me just quickly read it. This is where he was walking on the way to Emmaus with two of his disciples.
Yeah.
And these ones were talking about Jesus. They were like, oh, what happened to Jesus? And, you know, they were really sorry for what happened to Jesus. Yeah. And then Jesus decided to engage with them. So you come into 25, and Jesus said to them, why are you so thick-headed? Why do you find it so hard to believe every word the prophets have spoken? Sometimes when we think about the words the prophets have spoken, we want to be like the direct things, because I do hear a lot of people say that. Like when you go into Isaiah, you know, he says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. You know, it's so easy to have that scripture reflect Christ.
It feels like a prophecy. It reads like a prophecy.
And then when he tells you, arise, shine, for your light is come and the glory of God is written upon you, that feels like that is something you do.
Yeah.
But actually is describing a reality about you in Christ because of the resurrection of Christ. So he's speaking about the resurrection of Christ.
Mm.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So we kind of think that, oh yeah, I can really see there are parts of the scripture that really are, you know, about Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, when Jesus says, if you believe me, you will believe what Moses said about me, because Moses actually wrote about me. You're thinking, where did Moses write about you?
Yeah.
Then a part of you will say, oh yeah, I remember he said, and God will give you a redeemer like me.
Yeah.
That's what Moses wrote. But actually all the laws that Moses were given, particularly the ones that are the law of the Lord, they were revealing the person of Jesus. How that he was going to come to bring life, how that in him was going to be truth, how that in him was going to be grace, how that in him was going to be, you know, the oneness that God actually really intended.
Yeah.
You know, and even when you kind of look at Moses himself, you read the life of Moses himself, it was a type of how that Jesus was going to deliver us from captivity, how that by his Spirit he was going to lead us to the promise that the Father has always had. You know, Jesus has said, when I go, I will send to you the promise. Moses, how interesting, Moses was taking him to a promised land.
Yeah.
Right? So these scriptures were a shadow of the things that were to come. But when we read it, we're thinking, oh, these scriptures are like alternatives, you know. They're like alternative lives, you know. Mm-hmm. And we can really see where it points to Jesus. So I think some parts of the scriptures point to Jesus, some parts don't. That's how a lot of people say. But actually, all scriptures, as long as it is a scripture,
it's all pointing to Jesus.
It's revealing the death, the suffering, and the resurrection of Christ. And I didn't say it. It was what Jesus said to his disciples after his resurrection. So going back there, he says, and the beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he carefully unveiled to them the revelation of himself throughout the scriptures. You know, Jesus started to go from Genesis. He started to show them even from the prophet.
Yeah.
And in 44, Luke 24, 44, you see Jesus saying something very profound. He said to them, he says, "Don't you remember that the words that I spoke to you when I was still with you, I told you that I would fulfill everything written about me, including all the prophecies from the law of Moses through the Psalms and the writings of the prophets?" He supernaturally unlocked their understanding to receive the revelation of the scriptures. And he said to them, "Everything that has happened fulfills what the scriptures prophesied of me. The Messiah was destined to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." The scriptures beautifully tell us about
weave together.
That's what it does. And I love it when Peter then comes in the book of Peter and starts to say, oh, when the prophets were speaking, they didn't even know what they were speaking about. Because what they were speaking about is the reality we live now, and it's about the suffering of Christ and the glory. So, you know, when people then get into interpretation of the scripture debates, it's because they've left the topic of the scripture to go into other things that they think that they can get from the scripture.
How the scripture serves us individually. I mean, just while we're having this conversation now, I'm having, like, I keep on having little things jumping in and out of my my reasoning, and I was just thinking that there's something, there's a stronghold about the legality of scripture that we I don't know why we so desperately cling to it. And you can see that, you know, that in kind of like when Jesus walked the earth, you can see how the Pharisees and the Sadducees were so angry when he tried to tell them why, like, what is, he tells them is what is coming out of you that is killing you, not what is good. And he's telling them all these things that you're too concerned about this and that and where they don't matter, and they so desperately want to shut it down. Like, it's like we can't accept that it's been worked out for us and we only need to come into the understanding of it. And I struggle with that. And whilst I'm even saying this, I'm thinking about Stephen the Martyr. You know, if you read that little chapter where they stoned him, it tells us about how he talks about the scripture from right from the beginning.
Amen.
While he's going through it, like, how dare you? Why are you? You're going for the roots of our foundation. And they're clinging on to these instructions. And we feel like it's so important to protect
the integrity of the scriptures.
Because you feel like, you know, this is going to give you a tick mark with God. Like, you know, you're doing God proud. If you're like, how dare you? You can't say that. This. And it also makes God seem like this fearsome sovereignty, like, you know, like, yeah, we just need to show him that we're loyal and there's allegiance. There's something that you said this afternoon, we're talking about it, and you see, something that you said that comes back to me. And you're talking about how God was never really bothered about atonement. Like, it was never about us giving our lives to him. It was all about him giving
his life
for us. And somehow we just can't, there's something about our mind that cannot accept that wholesome kind of love.
I think,
I don't know if
I
get what I'm trying to say. This is I'm just trying to kind of draw out what could make it difficult for me to see that all the scripture is trying to tell me is how to understand Jesus, to know the life that he led, and how knowing that will help me to know how to live through him and by him.
I think I really love, you know, like, what you're saying. And if we kind of look at the scriptures in the way the scriptures is, if we see the scriptures as a collection of things that God said to us and how to live, you know, we will always be in that position where we are contending with it. Because what it does is it separates God from us. We are here, God is there, and the scriptures or religion is telling us how to get to God.
Right. Yeah.
Or how to benefit from God.
Yeah.
But when we come into Christ to really see that what the scripture is doing is revealing the person of Christ. In fact, the story the scripture is telling is revealing the person of God.
And we could only ever really get it through Christ.
We could only ever really get it through Christ. We pause. But a lot of people actually, you know, find it difficult to say, you cannot say Christ is the only one that knows God. And Christ is the only one by which we know God. A lot of people struggle with that.
Yeah.
And the reason they struggle with that is because they have a feeling, we have had prophets who know God. We have had prophets who see God. We have had prophets who have brought us the word from God. We have had prophets who have done amazing things in the name of God.
Yeah.
So how can you invalidate our father Abraham? How can you invalidate our prophet Elijah? Mm-hmm. How can you invalidate Moses? How can you invalidate and say that these ones do not know God? But you have to then ask yourself, do you believe in the prophets or do you believe in Christ? Because Jesus said something in the book of John chapter 5. He said, nobody knows the Father except the Son.
Yeah.
He said, nobody is ever seen the Father except the Son.
Yeah.
And he says, the work that the Son is doing is what he is seeing his Father do. So you start to come into a place where it feels like what you are struggling with is how to validate the other experiences before Christ.
Huh.
And honestly, even after Christ, the disciples kind of suffered, you know, they struggled with it.
It's like you're asking the question, are we doing away with that? Is it that they don't matter anymore? Is it only Christ?
Exactly. So that's the thing. It wasn't something you needed to do with before, because it was something that was supposed to be giving you something to come.
Okay.
If you dealt with so much that when it was the one that you talked about, you didn't see him. You didn't recognize him. You hated him.
Yeah.
You were like, how can he say he's the child of God? You know, because religion has separated you from where, like, God cannot have a son. God can, no one can be born of God. How dare you forgive? That's something that God does. Because religion is kind of put this thing on you. And you continue to do it. And the real struggle you have is your unbelieving of the nature of God as revealed in Christ. Some of us think that we believe it. But when you actually reflect on what the argument really is that you actually are struggling to believe. You're like, how can he just be Jesus? He cannot just be Jesus. You know, you go to the story of Adam in Genesis, for instance, and you see that, oh, after Adam fell, you're like, oh, the conversation is about how, you know, like the conversation is about how we, you know, like disobeyed God. That's what we think. But actually, when you know that story is about the revelation of Christ, you see that it's actually about God's response to us. You know, when we fell, what we did was we thought we were naked. We wanted to hide.
Yeah.
And what he wanted to do was to restore us to a place where we didn't have to hide anymore.
Wow.
He wanted to give us a new identity, clothe us with something new.
Wow.
And so, but when we have a mindset of idolatry, which really a lot of them dwelt in, that's the sacrifice of bulls, the sacrifice of this, the sacrifice of that. When we have that mindset, we think, oh, what God had to do was he had to slay a lamb so that, you know, that can atone for our sins and that can serve as a remission for our sin. But actually, you know what God did when he actually did do that? What he did was he got the fur from that animal. so it could give you a garment that was going to cover the nakedness.
It's amazing. That's just beautiful.
God was always looking for an opportunity to serve you. You will always kind of go out, but he always finds a way to serve you. But we, because we don't know that the story we read is a God story, we take the specimens and the scripture as lessons. We're like, oh, we need to learn. What did we learn from Abraham? Well, what did we learn?
This is going to make people ask questions like, oh, this new age Christians that want to, that feel like, oh, you know, everything's been done for them. There's nothing that needs to be done. And there's that strife, a strife in within us that keeps on making you feel like, oh, are we looking for the easy way now? I was going to ask a question, though, about the whole sacrifice thing. Didn't God actually direct, even, you know, in the Old Testament, did not direct them to sacrifice a lamb in order to, it was not part of the instruction.
Okay.
The remission of sin.
So I absolutely understand how, you know, the scriptures kind of reveals that. And they did all of that, although they did all of that in what I would call a shadow, right?
Okay.
God never delighted or instructed them to do it. I think a lot of the things that people actually forget is before God called Abraham, although a lot of people think that the call of Abraham was about him, you know, becoming, you know,
father Abraham, of,
and, you know, becoming the father of Israel or whatever it is. Before God called Abraham, he was a Gentile and he worshipped idol.
Yeah.
After God called him, there was no point in which God told him, this is how I want you to worship me. What Abraham did was he understood that there was a new relationship that was forming in something that was beyond him, but he still continued in his ways. Mm-hmm. He still continued to sacrifice his idol because that taught him something between himself and his God. And that was very important because it meant that despite his shortcoming of not really knowing the one he is serving, he anticipated the promise that was going to make him blessed and make him perfect.
Right. Okay.
So that was why Abraham is not a father to us or after the order of birth, but after the order of faith. Because when God called him, he didn't limit himself by, oh, this is what I, you know, like, no. He, even without knowing, followed.
Yeah.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
Even without being in a good position, advantaged position, he still had, you know, like some sort of relentless belief in who he knows God to be.
Yeah.
Imagine that knowledge was actually in a shadow.
Also, it actually looks like the type of faith we're called on to now. The kind of faith where we, even though we have not seen, you know, when the Bible says that, you know, some of, even though these guys saw and they walked in, but he said, you guys have not seen it, but yet you believe. But Abraham already practiced that even before Jesus.
Yeah, I think that was why when Jesus was saying to them, when they said, oh, Abraham was our father, Jesus said, Abraham wasn't your father because he gave birth to you. If you're talking about Abraham being your father, it's about his faith. And then Paul said it, that the story we read is not Abraham's story. The story we read is God's story, how that he justifies the Gentile. He justifies the unjust. It wasn't, I think a lot of the time, right, maybe because we see the people in
human
the
nature
as examples, we miss
the core.
The core of how those stories reveal Jesus. We do. And really, the essence of the podcast today is really to throw, you know, just, it's just some dashes of truth to your heart to say, you don't have to believe what they believe. Just believe Christ.
Yeah.
You don't have to work in the way that they worked.
Yeah.
If you've got Christ, you've got everything. You don't have to aspire to have the experiences they had because, in fact, I like to think that some Christians bear the fruit of Moses as opposed to the fruit of God. No, I'm being honest.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes you see Christians bearing the fruit of Elijah as supposed to be bearing the fruit of Christ. And the reason I say that,
it's not wrong, but it stops you short, does it?
It is wrong, because the spirit of Christ is different from the spirit of Elijah. Do you know, how do we know this? There was an experience in the scripture, and I think we'll kind of like start to wrap it up, right?
Yeah.
The disciples were, so the favorite of Jesus' disciples, so we're going to Samaria. And then while we're going to Samaria, the Samaritans were kind of like, you know, just between the borders, right?
Yeah.
They were kind of stopping them from going in.
Mm-mm-mm.
So one of the disciples said, oh, we should totally call fire, and so that fire can consume them. Jesus said, stop. You have no idea the spirit you're made of.
Mm.
The spirit you're made of is not the spirit that calls down fire to consume. It's the spirit that saves. You know, like, wow. Jesus was really interested in letting people actually know who God is. He says this very interestingly. He says, I haven't come to condemn anyone. I have come that people might have life. Yet, there are some people today when they're praying, you know, I'm not saying the prayer is wrong. Yeah. They're like, Father, this person has done something to me. Please, can you just make sure you punish them in the way they should be punished?
Yeah.
The reason is because you think that's what God is about. Because he told you, love your enemies, do good to them that curse you.
Yeah.
When he was saying it to you, he wasn't saying it to you, because he's saying it to you because that's who he is. This is how we know that he loves us. While we were enemies, Christ died for us.
Wow.
God wasn't telling us something he wasn't doing. He was showing us who he was. Do you get what I mean? But but a lot of us, because we have read an eye for an eye.
Yeah.
And a tooth for a tooth. We have read, and in the day of the Lord, you know, and you should, because we've read a lot of those things, we've come into spiritual gymnastics, and our personal interpretations isn't helping too.
No.
You know, I saw that Jesus fasted for 40 days, and he says that by fasting you will have power, and so I'm fasting 100 days now.
Mm.
That's good. I love the fact that you can fast. Hallelujah. But that wasn't what he was saying. Jesus wasn't calling you to, you know, like, oh, you know, some people actually say, oh, but Jesus said this. So what did Jesus say? I always said to them, Jesus said, there are a lot of things I want to say to you. I can't say them to you now.
Yeah.
But when the spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you the truth. The real problem we're having is we have Christians who kind of live in the reality of the spirit of truth.
Because they still... We limit the spirit by combining. I say we, because I think I might still find myself.
We are all
we're combining a lot of flesh with spirit every now and again.
Yes.
And, you know, even sometimes when we get it and we're doing the spirit and doing the spirit, all of a sudden we throw some flesh in there and it just messes everything up.
Yes.
I think I've got a moment in this conversation today. And the one, it's amazing, you know, you said when God was giving his best for it, it was about him.
Mm.
It's this whole thing is about him.
Mm.
And we need to remember, you know, I like that you said that while we were his enemies, he gave his life for us. So again, he's showing us his character, his personality. Mm. When Jesus came, it was showing us what God looked like. And I think that what we're trying to drive at is that if you can find Jesus in the scripture, if you can really devote that time to find Jesus in scripture, you will find yourself, you're able to live how Jesus lived. Then exactly. It's attainable.
It's
attainable.
You'll find yourself. I love that you said you'll find yourself that you're able to live the way Jesus lived. But you know the actual truth?
Jesus lives through you.
Jesus lived. You find yourself living the same life.
Yeah.
Because as Christ is, so are you. We will break the structure of religion, because the structure of religion sits very nicely in the churches now.
Yeah, it's a block by block though. Oh. It's a block by block, because I think there's so many things that's so deeply seated.
Mm.
You know, because you have to mindfully remind yourself that when you're looking into the word, I'm looking for Jesus. So I think it changes the way that you read the Bible.
Yeah.
So every time I'm now looking at the Bible, I'm like, oh, what? How does this tell me about Jesus' life and death and his glory?
Exactly.
Make it simple. Because that's what he said in Luke.
That's what he wants you to do when you look at the scriptures. When you see the testimony of Paul, for instance, in the epistles, he's saying the things he's come to learn about Christ. And you see him in Ephesians saying that, I really pray that the eyes of your understanding might open, that you might know the hope of his calling.
Yeah.
He's saying to you that you may have deep revelation of him, because everything is about him. It says, as we behold him as in a mirror, we are transformed into the very image.
Which was always the plan. He said, let's make man in our own image, in his own likeness.
Exactly.
In our own likeness.
You know, it was...
That was always the main plan.
It's about seeing God. Jesus then broke our spiritual, you know, our religious back by two things. And then I'll end it there. First, they've always known eternal life in a particular way. You can see that rich man, he came to Jesus. He said, oh, you're doing so well, Jesus. What do I need to do so I can kind of have the life you have now? I can kind of have eternal life, because we see eternal life as a mysterious kind of life, a continuation kind of life. Like when we are dead, you know, we live with God in all everlasting glory, you know. And so we want to get it right so that we do that. Jesus in John 17 verse 3, it's just a very small line. It says, this is eternal life, that they know God and they know Jesus.
Simple.
He says,
Father, I have eternal life now already then.
By his spirit, you have eternal life. You have a life that is capable.
It doesn't start after you die.
No. That's why Peter said, we have a taste of it from here. We are living right now in the promise of eternal life. I always say this jokingly. If you're not confident of your eternal life here, that religious heaven that you see, you're not going there. Let's just start. Because by the time you get it, it will tell you, I don't know you.
Mm.
Because you've never really taken time to know him. I say it very jokingly.
Yeah.
The second thing was the idea of resurrection. You know, after Lazarus died, Martha and Mary met with Jesus, and they were kind of telling Jesus about how they know that Lazarus was going to, you know, come back again when resurrection happens. Jesus was like, that resurrection? I am resurrection and I am life.
Yeah.
He was trying to take their mind away from this crazy thing that they are actually imagining to himself. And God did exactly that to us.
Yeah.
When they went to the Mount of Transfiguration, you know, there was Moses and there was Elijah, and then there was Jesus. And Peter was like, oh my God. This is it. The Hall of Fame of the Most Great.
Yeah.
It's like, we should totally pitch stones here. And what they saw was, there was a consummation. Because everything is fulfilled in Christ. Everything comes together. And then they looked, they couldn't see Moses, they couldn't see Elijah anymore. They saw Jesus. And as soon as they saw Jesus, the voice came, this is my son in whom I'm well. Sometimes when we read that, we're like, when the voice came and he says, hear ye him. We say, oh, Jesus, well, God was very pleased with you. But actually we're saying, this is the one in whom I'm representing. This is the one you must hear. This is the one in whom my fullness dwells. So it means that when we look into the scriptures, if we're not seeing Jesus, what we are seeing was what they believed. If we are not seeing Jesus, what we are doing was what they did.
Mm.
If we are not seeing Jesus, who we are is who they were. If we're not seeing Jesus, we're not living in the fullness of the life of him. And you know what that is? The letter kill. But when we see Jesus, we see him because the resurrected spirit of Christ dwells in us. When we see Jesus, we see that he is, you know, enthroned, and we are just sat with him in heavenly places, far above principalities and power. When we see Jesus, we know his grace, which is the truth about God. And when we see all of that, you know, the crown of it is we see ourselves.
Yeah.
As God's children, we can say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's what I'm going to end tonight.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. We truly hope that this week, you know, we've nudged you in a direction that will help you look at the scriptures a different way.
Mm.
I mean, I know that I definitely feel like I have a different perception. And I think that, you know, this leaves me more to go and muse on and look into. It's so important that more and more as we walk this walk of faith, we need to find ourselves. That is where the fullness lies.
Mm.
The minute we come into finding ourselves in Christ, yeah, the whole world will see the manifestation of his glory.
Yeah, and the world is waiting for that manifestation. The manifestations of the sons of God.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen. See you next week.
See you next week.